Hi everyone, I'm David Zhang from Columbia University. I'm happy to have this opportunity to tell you about our ongoing project about this dimensional reduction of the functional renormalization group. So my background is in condensed matter theory, but in the last year, I feel that machine learning is so interesting and intriguing. So I want to see whether we can use machine learning to simplify some quantum-like problems. So I want to first thank my collaborators, Mattia Medvedo, I hope I pronounced the last name correct, who is also in the audience, and he's a graduate student in Columbia University, and we collaborate a lot on the coding and on this FRG neural network architecture. And Domenico Kiss, who is a postdoc in Flatiron. He taught me a lot on the FRG calculation and also provides me the data for this project. And I want to thank Domenico Descent from University of Bologna and Anivan from Rutgers and Andy Miller from Columbia University who with whom we discuss a lot on this FRG. Okay, so then let me introduce the background. So as a condensed matter theorist, we always interested in these quantum systems. So in quantum system, there is no single particle picture, but it's more like a collective phenomena, and it requires the many-body perspective. And in this system, there are so many intriguing phenomena, like the metal insulator transition, the superconductivity, the heavy fermion, and the quantum magnetism. So to understand this phenomena, we need to first build a model, the Hubbard model and the Heisenberg model, which I guess all of you are very familiar with. But even after we have this model, it's still very difficult to solve the problems. And one of the reasons is that the interacting system, it exhibits distinct behaviors on different energy scales. So if we take the high temperature superconductivity as an example, you can find that there are three energy scales. The first one is the lattice scale, the interaction, and the hopping. And then it goes down to the spin fluctuation scale. And at the lowest scale, it goes to the magnetic or superconductivity instability, which we are mostly interested in. So if we just solve this model straightforwardly, using some perturbative method, it will be very difficult to achieve a very accurate result. And then people come up with different methods. And one of the methods is the renormalization group. And the functional renormalization group, which is the main thing in this project, is you can think it as a numerical method of systematically cross-graining a quantum field theory. So for people who don't know that, I will introduce some procedure to doing this FRG calculation. So here, one starts at an ultraviolet cutoff scale, and it will successfully take effects of the fermionic fluctuations into account by approaching to the infrared limit. And if there are some vortex, there is some divergence in this calculation, it will terminate at some transition temperature. And then we can calculate some relative parameters to find the ground state. So it's a very powerful method for us to find the ground state. And the most important object in this FRG calculation is called vortex. So the vortex, you can see that it's it has four legs, and it describes the scattering of electrons at K1, K2 to some other momentum, K3, K4, and plus some internal structure. And what FRG, the functional normalization group, is doing is to keeping track of how this vortex evolves under the renormalization. And because this vortex, it depends on three momentum. So you can think it's actually a very computational expensive thing to calculate. And if we take a Brillouin zone, and if we have 48 K points in this Brillouin zone, then for this vortex, it will be 48 to the 3 power. And then it's 10 to the 5th of the order. So then this FRG, it become a coupled differential equations of 10 to the 5th number of equations, which will be super expensive to solve. And then we want to ask a question. Could we find like a compact representation for this complex vertex function? And if this can be found, then we can first simplify this FRJ calculation. And also, like because this vertex is used in many other calculations, so we can also like simplify some other many body calculations, such as the cluster dynamical mean field calculation and like the GW approximation. Okay, so the goal is to reduce the dimension of the vertex, and then I will introduce some like common method of the dimensional reduction in the machine learning like context. So in machine learning, like some common methods include the first one, the principal component analysis, which is a linear method to reduce the dimension. And we can also use the autoencoder, which is a nonlinear method. And there are also some other methods in this community, but like in this talk, I will focus on these two like methods. So the first one is the principal component analysis. For me, like before I studied machine learning, like what I studied is is physics, and I never encountered this principal component analysis. So I will briefly introduce what a PCA is. So you can think that it is to find the best linear transformation from a high dimensional space, like R to the D, to a low dimensional space, and at the same time maintain the reconstruction accuracy. So for this low dimensional space, you can think that it can be represented by some basis vector, like from Q1 to Qk, and they are orthonormal to each other. And to do this PCA, we just need to like minimizing the difference between the initial vertex, the initial data, to the like projected vertex onto this low dimensional subspace. And after finding this, like it's actually like solving a covariance matrix. But like after solving this problem, we can get this like eigenvector Q1 to Qk, which are called the principal components. And like the S vector is like the direction of a line that best fits the data while being orthogonal to the other vectors. So you can think that here is a high dimensional like data, and we want to find a low dimensional space and by doing this linear projection. So this is PCA. And then I will like briefly introduce the autoencoder, which I think maybe most of you are familiar. So autoencoder is also tries to reduce the dimension, and it's doing this by a nonlinear way. So autoencoder, it has like three parts, an encoder and a latent space and a decoder. So like we input this vertex function into this encoder and maps it to a very small latent space. And then this latent space is connected to a decoder, and we want to reconstruct this vertex. So by minimizing the difference between the initial vertex and the final vertex, and if this is done successfully, then we can see that this latent space can capture the important information of the original high dimensional space. So this is the concept of the PCA and autoencoder. And our next step is to use these two methods to simplify our vertex functions. And to do that, we need to find a model. So here, what we use is the common like model, the TT prime Hubbard model. It has kinetic energy and also has a next neighbor like Hopping term and an onset interaction. And in this project, we focus on the endpoint of this FRJ calculation. So at the endpoint of this calculation, FRJ predicts three physical phases. One is the antiferromagnetic state for T prime between 0 to 0.2. And the other one is the superconductivity state. And then it goes to the ferromagnetic state. So after we do this calculation, we get this vertex. And then we use PCA and autoencoder to see whether we can reduce the dimension of this 10 to the fifth vertex. And here is the result. So here I show like one example of the vertex function at some certain T prime. And this is like I to make it like more easy to view, I take this 2D slice of this 3D vertex at some certain K3. Because like the vertex, it depends on three momentum. So like we take K3 equals to zero as an example, and show this 2D slice of this vertex. And this is the original vertex. And this like lower like pictures, it shows the reconstructed vertex by the PCA method and the autoencoder method. And surprisingly, we found that with this like simple PCA calculation, we can already like reconstruct this vertex really well. And the mean square error between all the vertices is just like 0.02. And for the autoencoder, it also produced the vertex like really well. And the mean square error is like a bit higher than the PCA. So we found that sometimes like this simple method could already give us a very good result. And so both PCA and autoencoder, it correctly reproduced the vertex. And because like we use PCA, which is a very simple method, and we can like look at very roughly. So what we do is that we look at the PCA explained variance like percentage. So the explained variance plot, it visually represents the proportion of the total variance captured by each successive principal component. So in this plot, you can think like here, like there, like the x-axis is the principal component like index, and the y-axis is the explained variance percentage. So you can think that this first one, the first component, it already captures the 50% of the variance of the original data. And the second component, it captures like around 35% of the original variance. So surprisingly, like even though the original vertex is like a vertex of the 10 to the fifth dimension, but we found that only using four components, we can already capture about like 95% of the variance of the original data. So we found that using this like machine learning method, we indeed found a very low dimensional representation of the high dimensional vertex. And after finding this, we also want to understand like whether we can use this latent space to study the ground state that is of this vertex. And here, as the calculated by the FRG, there are three phases. And then using this latent space, and we define this correlation matrix, which you can think is like we take this latent like vectors and we do this cosine similarity between this latent vectors as a function of this T prime. And this is the result of PCA and the result of the autoencoder. And they are very similar to each other. So here we find that as a function of T prime, it also shows a very clear phase boundary between different phases. And this one is like the ferromagnetic state, and these are the antiferromagnetic state and the superconductivity state. And this T prime, like the phase boundary, like 0.3, is also very close to this like FRG calculation. And also we can find that this AFM and the superconductivity state, they are like blue, which means that they are like more like similar to each other, which is also agrees with this FRG data, because like these two phases in physics, they are often difficult to distinguish from each other by this calculation. So we found that by using this simple like dimensional reduction method, we can like reduce the dimension, and we can also like think about like the ground state of the original like complex vertex. Yeah.
Having identified the principal components, if you look at them, well, what do they correspond to? Yes,
it's an excellent question. So like if we use this like autoencoder, which is a deep learning one, like which has like it's very difficult to interpret the result. But for the PCA, it's just like a projection of the original like high dimensional data. And like because this is like still an ongoing project, and currently we found that it looks at this principal component, they are more related to the ordering like vectors. And like we are still looking into it. But like, I think like using this PCA, we can get a very direct like interpretation of like, what does this principal component mean? Yeah. So this is for the hybrid model. And then we also try another model, which is the Heisenberg antiferromagnetic order, antiferromagnetic model on the Kagome lattice. Because of the time limit, I will not introduce the details of this model. But you can think that it is a spin-spin model. And then like Dominic, who did this like calculation before, and he mapped the spin to the like to the transformation to the fermion, and then do a similar thing like of the FRJ calculation, and find the three different phases. And they are U1 drug phase, the pinwheel like valence bond crystal state, and the octahedral order, which is a magnetic order. And this is like as a function of like the J over G1. And again, we want to think that whether we can use this like machine learning to reduce the like dimension. So before we go into that, I also want to mention that in this FRJ calculation, we can find this phase boundary like around this G1, like around 0.3, it has a transition between this U1 direct phase to this pinwheel like valence bond crystal state. And here G2, it similarly has a transition. But from this FRJ calculation, it looks that compared to other methods, this first phase boundary, like 0.3, is close to like other result. But for the second one, the FRJ, it predicts like the phase boundary is around 0.8, which is like it's a little bit far from other methods, which is around like 0.51. So we want to use machine learning method to say like first, we want to reduce the dimension. And second, we want to see whether there are any indication of this phase boundary. And here is the result. Because like in our previous like calculation, we found that this PCA is like almost the same as the autoencoder. So here I only show the result for this PCA. And PCA again shows that we only need a few components to capture the major information in this vertex. And here we can find that only four components can already capture almost like 99% like variance of the high dimensional vertex. And then we look at the ground state. And again, we do this correlation matrix calculation and to find like whether there is a clear phase boundary between different phases. And this time, it doesn't look that good. There's not a very clear phase boundary for different phases, but like it still like shows a rough boundary. Like here, we can find like for G around 0.6, there is a clear box which shows the octahedral order, and there is like a transition from this pinwheel VBC order to this octahedral order. And this like phase boundary 0.6, which is like still like not close to 0.51, but it looks at least it's better than this FRJ calculation, which predicts this 0.8. And also because it's a principal component calculation, we can do a very good interpretation. So we also project this data onto this first two axes of the PCA. And you can find that there is a very like smooth line. And this color represents the value of this J over G1. And maybe like it's a coincidence or maybe it's not. We found that for this first axis, when it crossed this zero, and this J over G1 is like almost exactly the value of this phase boundary of this like G2. And when we look at this second axis, also, like when this like principal component crossed zero, this value is also like the first like phase boundary here. So we are thinking that maybe there is a relation between this like principal component zeros with the phase boundary. But here it's like still an ongoing project, and we are still investigating this part. So here in this model, we also show that we can use PCA to simplify to reduce the dimension of this high dimensional vertex. And we are trying to find this like signature of the phase boundary of the original model. And lastly, I also want to introduce a work that is done by like Domenico and Mattia. So in the project that I discuss, we mainly look at the final point of this vortex like calculation. And in Mattia's this project, we look at this overall like flow equation of this FRG. So here is used a very advanced like architecture called the neural ODE architecture. And like initially, like the initial condition is mapped to encoder into a latent space. And then it we define a differential equation propagation rule to propagate this differential equation in this low dimension. And finally, we like project this back to this like vortex by using a decoder. And in this work, we show that in this small dimensional latent space, we can like reconstruct this whole like flow equation in this space, which shows that again it is a like maybe like there indeed we can simplify this like complicated FRG calculation. Okay, so then we go to the summary. The data driving in this work we show that the data driving method can help us to use only a few parameters to capture the important aspects of the original vortex function. And we found that this simple PCA could give us a more accurate result than the complex autoencoder. And in both the Hubbard model and the Heisenberg antiferromagnetic model, the low dimensional latent space can have an indication of the boundaries of the different ground states. And for the future questions, because here we are thinking, like we are looking at the ground state of the model, which means that the vortex, it has a divergence. So we are thinking that like if in a Fermi liquid model, which doesn't have divergence, could we still use a few parameters to describe the whole space? And we are also thinking like whether we can incorporate this PCA result, which is a very simple and powerful method to the complex neural ODE framework. Okay, so that's all, thank you.
Questions?
Can you handle this? Here, why don't you pass it?
So first, could you just tell us at which level of approximation you did your FRG? At which level of approximation you did your FRG? FRG, you always neglect some stuff, right? So, and there are like one loop, two loops. And
yeah, I think it's like a one loop like approximation, and like I don't know the details of this FRG, and I think you can think it as like a couple differential equations that of this vortex function. Yeah.
Okay.
It's one loop. Okay.
Okay.
And second, so you essentially everything you presented except the last slide was post-mortem. So you just did the singular value decomposition at the end. And then in the last slide, you said how you could incorporate that to actually follow the dynamics, but using something totally different. Why not just, you know, if you have like only three singular values or four singular values that matter, why just write the equation in this variational space?
Yeah, so because like here, like it's possible that although like the major components, they maybe stay the same for the whole flow, but this like major principal components, it may like gradually change during the flow. So.
But you can just follow that, right? It's just a much smaller space, so you can just parameterize it and follow.
Yes. And
why not choosing that and choosing something completely different? Here.
Yeah, so I think it's like maybe because I like it's still like we need to find like a relation between this like PCA components, and like we need to rewrite this like differential equation of the vortex if we just use this new axis. And here, like if we just map it to a neural network, then like we don't need to directly find this relation. And
okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Where's the
thanks. Very nice talk, thank you. I am wondering about the following. So If I would normally want to identify phase transitions directly from the measurement data, then PCA fails immediately if I go outside of some simple icing transition. But here you say that the PCA does even better than the autoencoder. Like, is it because you already, all the important information is sort of in your RG and then the rest of the problem is always linear? Or, do you have some deeper understanding of why is this, that it's so, linear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe it depends on the structure of the vertex function. Because here, like from this plot, we find that indeed, like there are only like less than 10 components that captures all the important information. And for some other calculation, maybe this 10 components are not enough to capture all the information. And also, like in the calculation, like we did a full like phase diagram from like T prime from 0 to 0.5. So it's like in like having all of the data. But for like if in some other calculation that the PCA doesn't have like the full data, then it may be difficult to find the like ground state.
I see. Thank you.
I just wanted to quickly answer the question from a different perspective, maybe. Yeah, what you essentially said, yes, the RG kind of distills the interaction vertex to a couple of peaks. In these very many momentum points, there's only a handful of principal components that define your phase. But the statement is these are not snapshots of the systems. These are momentum-dependent interaction vertices, which contain more information about the phase, especially at the end of RG flow. So that's kind of the crucial point, because the PCA is performed after the RG has already distilled things to the most essential components for the phase. So if you did this on the snapshot, this fails miserably.
Okay, time for one more question. Anyone online? If you're there, feel free to speak up. Baskaran.
So, if I understand correctly, this principal component analysis identifies hot spots in the Brillouin zone. Is that correct? Because suppose I'm looking at Cooper channel, looking at the D wave. Suppose I'm doing RG, starting with pair scattering M vertex in the Cooper channel, zero momentum and D wave channel. Then it will be dominated by some few regions in the momentum space. So your principal component analysis brings out those hot spots. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think like we are still working, but I think this is the like main idea, because when we look at the principal component that project back to the K space, we find that for this specific channels, like the value of the principal component is very large. So it's very possible that this PCA is trying to get these channels out of this like whole space.
Okay, let's thank Jiawei again. And